To John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we've reached the sixth Sunday of Easter. Easter seems like it's been a long time ago, doesn't it? But we spend this whole season contemplating the great wonder of Christ being raised from the dead and what it means for us. Next Sunday, we'll celebrate Ascension of the Lord, and then the following Sunday, Pentecost. And typically, Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit, is when I typically talk about the Holy Spirit. But I wanted to talk about it today because the Holy Spirit is quite prominent in two of our three readings. The Gospel, where Jesus talks about sending the Advocate, and of course, in the Acts of the Apostles. So let me first talk about that scene in the Acts of the Apostles. To set the stage, Paul, after his conversion, has gone out to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, being a devout Jew, he first begins going to the synagogues and other places where the Jewish people gather and telling them that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise, he is the Messiah. Well, some of them do believe and are baptized, but others reject him, and in fact threatened him as well. And so he begins to just start preaching anywhere and everywhere. Anyone who listens to him and believes in the good news of Jesus Christ, he offers the gift of baptism, making them a member of Christ's body, the church. He's very successful at this ministry, as town after town after town, he establishes churches and Christian communities. But now someone has come and telling the people, those that are not of Jewish descent, telling the people that you have to follow every transcript of the law of Moses, which means baptism isn't enough. You also need to be circumcised. Now, Paul doesn't agree with this, but he doesn't want to impose his own will on the people. Instead, after conferring with the elders of those churches, they decide for him and Barnabas and for a few of their selected representatives to go to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles in what scripture scholars refer to as the first ecumenical council, the Council of Jerusalem. And so they come and present this question. Does it require us to follow even the law of circumcision to be saved. Now, interestingly enough, the church gave us the first 12 verses and the last verses, but they skipped 20 verses in the middle. That's why it sounds kind of jarring. We go from the letter that they present to the response of the apostles. Well, in those 20 verses was a lot of discussion, a lot of argument, and a lot of prayer. And most especially prayer to the Holy Spirit. For when they finally came to their decision, they began their decision with these words. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. So they acknowledge that they have been guided to this decision by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the one who guides the church here on earth. And thus, one of the most important decisions for the early church is reached as the leaders of the church have discerned what is the Spirit asking them to do, and they follow His will and proclaim, yes, you should live good lives, but you do not need to be circumcised. Baptism is enough to make you a disciple of Jesus and be offered the gift of eternal life. And even to this day, the Holy Spirit continues to guide the church here on earth. But that's not the only thing the Holy Spirit does. When you read through not just today's gospel reading, but other parts of John's gospel, you'll see three other functions of the Holy Spirit. And the first function is the continued presence of Jesus on earth. So for us, our first encounter with the Holy Spirit was at this font or a font like that, where through the action of the blessed water and the action of the Holy Spirit, the punishment of original sin was washed away. We were adopted by our Heavenly Father into His family. We became adopted brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we became temples of the Holy Spirit. From the very moment we entered the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit resided in us and still continues to this day. God's presence is among us because the Holy Spirit is in us and resides with us. He accompanies us through all the joys and sorrows of this life. He continues to prod us on to the right path that all of Jesus' disciples should be walking, always pointing to that ultimate destination of eternal life in heaven, the gift that was offered as well at this font. The Holy Spirit is how Jesus assures His presence is with us during our life on this earth. Another function of the Spirit. It is the truth-telling Spirit that testifies on behalf of Jesus and in defense of Him. So in a few moments, bread and wine will be brought forward in our offertory. They will be placed on this altar. How do we know that through the prayers of the priest and the action of the Holy Spirit, they become Christ's body and blood? It is the Spirit that tells us this is true. This truly does happen. That same Spirit tells us that through His action and through the action of water, we become sons and daughters of the living God through baptism. That same Spirit tells us that when the priest says those words, "I absolve you of your sins," you are forgiven. That same Spirit tells us that when someone comes forward to the bishop, the Spirit gives them gifts, the Holy Spirit's gifts, so as to live true Christian lives through the anointing received at confirmation. The same Spirit as well witnesses the commitment made between a man and a woman in the holy sacrament of matrimony. The Spirit is the one who is the actor of all of the sacraments, but is also the one that tells us what symbolized is actually happening. The Spirit as well is the one, because of Him residing in us, when we turn to, while faced with a moral decision, He is the one that will prompt us to choose the good, to choose the right, and to turn our back on what is sinful and what is wrong. The Spirit is the one that continues to keep us on that path, the path that all Christian disciples are asked to trod. We believe in the Spirit because the Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Spirit is God. God cannot lie to us. We do a good job of lying to ourselves, but if we truly listen for the will of the Spirit, we will hear what God expects of us, and we will hear the truth. The third function is, it reminds them of things that Jesus said and reveals things Jesus was unable to convey. So what is this part of the function of the Holy Spirit? Well, we are truly blessed to have a God that has revealed Himself in sacred Scripture. He has given us the great gift of sacred Scripture that reveals who He is and what He expects of us. It is the Holy Spirit that allows us to read God's living Word and to realize words that were written 2,000, 2,500 years ago are applicable to us in this time, in this place, applicable for us so as to continue to grow in holiness, growing in the image that we were all created, the image and likeness of our God. Throughout the church's history, the Holy Spirit has continued to allow us to uncover the beautiful treasure that is sacred Scripture and to understand what it says to us. This is how He continues to teach us and how Jesus continues to teach us by the Holy Spirit allowing us to interpret His words and make them meaningful to us this day. My dear friends, if I could sum up, I would say the Holy Spirit is the perfect example of a God who wants to a personal relationship with each and every one of us. He does not want to set down dictates and said, just go follow them. He wants to be with us as we walk through this life. He wants to continue to point us to the way. He wants us to continue to journey through this life to eternal life in heaven. My dear friends, as I said before, the Holy Spirit cannot lie, but we can ignore Him, we can lie to ourselves, and we can take Him for granted. But He will never abandon us, because the promise made at our baptism, His promise to accompany us throughout this life, He will never turn His back on us. He is always there, ready to welcome us back, ready to forgive, to love, to guide, and to teach. This is truly a blessing that God has given us. Let us continue to turn to the Holy Spirit who resides within us and ask Him, how best can we serve You? How best can we serve our neighbor? Because that is the surest path to join Him
our Heavenly Father, and our Savior Jesus Christ for all eternity.